turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to wrap up our series on foundations this week, and we're going to jump back into the book of Mark next week. So if you were coming here this morning for the book of Mark, come back next week also. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to talk this morning about God's great expectations for Spring Valley Baptist Church. I think one of the things in church world in America today that we are severely lacking in is understanding what God wants for us and then living it out. God actually has really high expectations for us, and it's not just about showing up on Sunday morning. He has very high expectations. He said, listen, I've called you a child of God. I've adopted you into my family. I've taken you from death into life. I've taken you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I've taken you from being a child of wrath to a child of eternal, everlasting life. He has high expectations for us. And so we want to talk about that this morning as we've been talking through who we are. And so if you're in Hebrews chapter 10, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, He has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. Let's watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. Father, now as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand and apply what your word has to say to us. And help us to leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If someone were to walk up to you randomly and say, where do you go to church? And you say, Spring Valley. And they asked you, what is Spring Valley all about? What would you say? Here's the answer, in case you were wondering. I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you weren't wondering. It's just this, love God, love others, share His story. What are we all about? We're all about loving God. Our verse of the month right now from Matthew says that this is the greatest and most important command, that we love God with all that we have. And so we start there. But we need to move on because Jesus even said, hey, the second is like it, and that is to love others as yourself. Love your neighbor, those around you, those that we're in proximity to. And so we have to love God and we love others. When we love God and we love others, we will naturally go out and share His story. So what is Spring Valley all about? Love God, love others, share His story. But what does that look like in our lives? And we've been talking about this the past few weeks. The metrics that we could put in or the steps that we could look at and say, well, how does that happen? Well, we've talked about already God daily. Spending time with Jesus every single day. Gather weekly, group regularly, give consistently, and go intentionally. And so this week, as we wrap up our study on foundations, we want to look at this idea of gather weekly and the importance of being in church. Now, this morning, every single one of you that is in this room is here. That is the most brilliant statement that you're going to hear all day. If you're here, you are here. All right? Thank you for being here. But why are you here? And what's important about you being here? And so we have to understand that God is saying, listen, gathering weekly is part of my expectations. And so when we say, what is Spring Valley all about? Love God, love others, share His story. What does that look like? We could also say, what are God's expectations for us? Well, God daily and gather weekly and group regularly and give consistently and go intentionally. Those are the expectations. So here's what we need to see. Just two things we're going to look at this morning from this passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Number one, God expects great things from us. God expects great things from us. He has incredibly high expectations of us as a child of God. Now listen, He does not have these expectations because if we don't meet those expectations, then we're out of the family. He says, because you're in the family, I have high expectations of you. Because of who you are, because of what's happened in your life, because you've been sanctified, you've been justified, you've been adopted into the family, I have these great expectations because we carry His name with us everywhere we go. He has high expectations. First thing is that He expects us to live in a new manner. He expects us to live in a new manner or in a new way. Look there again in verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, stop right there real quick. Here we have this incredible thing that we kind of take for granted a little bit, but at the time, those who were Jews who became believers in Jesus had this new thing where they had access directly to God the Father, not through a priest, not through a temple, not through a holy of holies that they could not enter, but they had direct access to God because of Jesus' work on the cross. That's living in a new way. We can go right to Him. Then jump down to verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. So living in a new manner, what does that look like? Well, number one, we have access to God. Number two, we've been sanctified by God. The word sanctified means to be made holy. So when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we don't have time to go through all of the things that happen at that moment of salvation. It's some pretty incredible things. One of the things is that we are justified. That means that we are made as if we had never sinned because of the blood of Jesus. But then we are sanctified. That means we are set apart. We are made holy. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of the flowing, the shedding of His blood, we have been taken from being children of wrath, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, to becoming children of God. We are taken from being dirty, disgusting, messed up sinners to being said, you are holy because I am holy. And so we are sanctified. Number three, we've been commanded to live like God. We've been commanded to live like God. In 1 Peter, he quotes and he says that God commands us to be holy because He, the one who called us, is holy. It's kind of like this. For 5 years when we lived in Florida, I coached varsity girls basketball at one of the local high schools. And one of the things that was really important was that when we got on the court, we all had to make sure, number one, that we all dressed the same way. We had to wear a uniform. Now, the hard part for teenagers was remembering which one was the home and which one was the away jersey. All right, we had to go through that all the time. We had to look the part. Number two, we all had to follow the same rules that everyone else had to follow so that we could compete in the game. When that happened, guess what we had? We had teamwork going on. If I had one of my girls and she just picked up the ball and tucked it up like a fullback and started running down the court, we weren't going to get very far because they'd call traveling. And we wouldn't be able to succeed. When we live like God, we are putting on the jersey that we find in Scripture of living holy, living like Jesus, because He has high expectations for us. One of the things that marks Christianity in America today is major hypocrisy. That we show up to church on Sunday morning, and we put on the real happy, everything's great in the world, I love Jesus face. And by the time we're pulling out of the parking lot, we've completely put all of those things aside. And we're thinking about and talking about and doing things that God commands us in Scripture to stay far away from. Do you know that God, when He puts guidelines on our lives, it's not because He's a great cosmic killjoy, but it's because He's trying to protect us. And He wants us to know that what He has and who He is far greater than anything else we could experience. And He says, listen, I know if you head down this road, the end result over here is not good. As parents, how many of us have warned our children, don't touch a hot stove? Right? We all have. Why? Because we hate our kids, right? We hate our kids and we don't want them to have any fun. No, we're trying to protect them. God is doing the same thing for us. And so when he says, live like me, he's saying, I'm expecting you to live in a new manner. I'm putting the bar here. We aim for this bar. He expects us to live in a new manner. Number two, he expects us to be firm in our beliefs. Look at verse 23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Listen, we cannot be firm in what we believe if we only look at it or study it once or twice a month. You know why you can't be firm if you live like that? Because you don't know what you believe. If the only time you open up the Word of God is once or twice a month when you walk into this building, you do not know what the Bible says. It is when we are seeking God daily and studying the depths of Scripture, even sometimes things that we don't really understand, but we're studying it and reading it and asking the Spirit of God to impart wisdom upon us, that as we're doing that, God opens up the eyes of our hearts so that we can see and we can understand. If we're just showing up and expecting our Connect group teacher or the pastor to feed us spiritually and we don't do any of the work at home, we don't have any idea at all what the Bible says and what we believe. And he expects us to be firm in our beliefs. If we look over at Colossians chapter 1, we see this incredible prayer that Paul prays for the believers, and he even prays for us, even though he didn't know us at all. It says this, starting in verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light." That is a mouthful, and there's a bunch of run-on sentences there. But here are some really important things that we need to look at, understanding what God wants us to be firm in. First of all, Paul prays that we be filled with the knowledge of his will. How do we know what God's will is? Real simple. Know God's word. If we know God's word, we will know God's will. We have made God's will way more complicated than it needs to be. We think God's will in my life is some mystical thing that, you know, we're going to be out on a mountaintop somewhere and an eagle is going to come and land on our shoulder and drop off a note from heaven, and we're going to unroll that and it's going to tell us our will. No, here's what we need to understand about God's will. If we know God's word and we begin to obey God's word, we will be doing and following God's will. And so he wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. But then in verse 10 it says, that you may walk worthy. Walk worthy. I love this phrase, walk worthy. You know what this is talking about? That we need to live like we have been given the greatest gift in the world. You know why? Because we've been given the greatest gift in the world. We've been given salvation. And so we need to live meeting up to that standard. Walking worthy of this incredible gift that we have. And then he goes on to say, fully pleasing to him. One of the things that Jesus said, and I know that Jesus is God, and I know that because he is God, he could not sin, and he did not sin. So when he said this, he was able to say it, but it's still a challenge in my life. When he said this, I always do the things that please the Father. Now, if we were just to be honest for a second, there's not a single one of us in here that could ever say, I always do the things that please the Father. But does that mean that we should just throw the towel in and give up? No, it means that we strive, even though we know we're going to struggle with sin. By the way, let me confess something to you this week. I sinned this week. And so did you. All right, just so we're all on the same level right there. All right, so we know that. We know that that's happened in our lives. That doesn't mean that we just throw the towel in and give up. It doesn't mean you'd be like, well, I said a bad word or I told a lie, so I might as well go out and murder people now. No, that's not how it works. We say, oh man, that was sin. God, forgive me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person who walks away from you. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your teenager. I want to follow after you. We work to be fully pleasing to him. And then it goes on to say, bearing fruit in every good work. What does it mean for a Christian to bear fruit? It means that we see in our lives and the lives of people around us things that look like Jesus. And so if you're a parent, you should see things that look like Jesus in your life, and you should begin to see them in the life of your children as well. Now listen, every single person, even children, have to make their own choice about what they're going to do with Jesus. But we can begin to see some of those things happen in the lives of our children as we're fully pleasing to God and we're bearing fruit. And then it says, growing in the knowledge of God, continually learning. You know how we continually learn? By continually studying, by continually being in the Word of God. And then it says, being strengthened with all power. Do you know how we receive the power of God in our lives? By spending time in the Word of God every day in our lives. That as we begin to experience what God has said to us through His Word, it begins to empower us because the Spirit of God is living inside of us, and it strengthens us because of what's happening, because of our time that we're spending God daily with Him. And then it says, so that we may have great endurance and patience. How many of you realize that life is really hard? And that sometimes the temptations and sins that get in our way are really annoying, and we just would like, I'd just rather be in heaven right now. You know what we need in our lives? Great endurance and patience to run this marathon of life. That to us right now, 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years seems like a long time, but in the light of eternity, it's really a short time. And then he goes on and says, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And we, as we're growing, as we're being firm in our beliefs, we are thankful for all that Jesus has done for us. If we look over to Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 14, he goes on and prays this way. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We see some of the same characteristics in the prayer in Colossians and here in Ephesians, but I love what he says there in verse 17. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. You know what this idea is? That we are digging down deep in the Word of God. Not just the surface issues, but we're digging down deep so that when, not if the storms of life come, when they come, we are able to stand because we are like the man who built his house on a rock, not on the sandy place. When I was growing up, I went to camp at Word of Life Island in Scroon Lake, New York, and then I worked there for a couple of summers. And it's a really neat camp. It's in the middle of a lake, and so it's kind of like Alcatraz, you know, like a prison. It's really neat about that. You just lock the kids away, and they can't go anywhere. It's awesome. But one of the things about this island was that it was essentially a big hunk of rock with a little bit of dirt sprinkled on the top. And so trees would grow, and as they started to grow, what would happen to their roots? Well, they couldn't really go down into the rock, so they just kind of spread out. And so you'd have these big trees, big pine trees, and they'd been there for many, many years, 50 or 100 years, maybe even longer, and a storm would come, and it would just topple them right over. And as you would go and see this tree that had fallen over, you would see that the root system was almost as tall as the tree was when it was standing up, because it couldn't go down, it went out. That is us as Christians many times. We don't go down, we just go out. We're this deep spiritually. And when we are rooted and grounded in Christ, we are digging down, down, down into the bedrock so that when the storms of life come, we're not going anywhere. Because we are deeply established. But let me tell you, this kind of radical, life-altering faith does not come through casual church attendance. What we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, what are the foundations of our lives? Who are we supposed to be? How are we supposed to live? Last week, Pastor Josh did an incredible job of unpacking that passage there in 1 Timothy as he talked about training for godliness and how it's hard work, right? Let's be honest. There are times that we wake up in the morning and we don't feel like being a Christian that day. We don't feel like spending time with Jesus. We don't feel like telling people about Jesus. We don't feel like singing praises to Him. We don't feel like it. But because of the hard training that we can go through, we can do that anyway because that's what God expects for us. He didn't call us to be a casual Christian. He didn't call us to just pretend everything was good and show up to church every once in a while. He called us to have a deep, radical, life-altering faith. But He also expects us to do life together. He expects us to do life together. Look at verse 24 there in Hebrews 10. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. Hey, here's something you need to understand. We cannot watch out for each other. We cannot push each other to do what is right and to love God and love others if we are not present with each other. And by the way, sneaking in right as the service starts and leaving as soon as it ends is not doing life together. We talked a couple weeks ago about what if we showed up 15 minutes early or even 30 minutes early and spent time praying? What if we stayed and spent time together for 15 minutes or 30 minutes after the service and enjoyed fellowship and enjoyed talking about the things that we'd experienced and the things that we had studied together? What would that do in our lives? Part of gathering weekly and grouping regularly is developing friendships that transcend church time and allow for deeper relationship with God by having deeper relationship with others. You see, we can spend time together outside of church. It's allowed. In fact, it's encouraged that we can spend time together here and there as well. That's doing life together. And so we're present for the good things and the bad things. We're present for the hard things and the easy things. We're present for the celebrations and for the mornings that we do life together because we love others. But also, He expects us to gather together more and more. Look at verse 25. Not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. Gathering weekly causes us to love others, which leads us to sharing His story. God expects us to spend time together as a church, worshiping together. Not less and less, more and more. As we get closer to Jesus' return, we are supposed to be gathering together more and more, spending more time together, showing up more, being involved in each other's lives more. This is a hard expectation for us in church world in America today because we're busy, right? We all have lots of things going on in our lives, and it's really easy to put something else as a precedent over church. Have you ever noticed that if there's something we have to do, usually it's something related to our relationship with God that goes out the window first? Well, I'm going to get up early and go fishing today, so I guess I just won't do my daily time with Jesus. Well, I got a football game that I gotta be a part of, so I can't make it to church. Well, it's a really nice day, and I'd really like to go out and have a picnic with my family, so we're not gonna be at church today. Sometimes it seems as though Christians in America today we'll go to church as a last resort rather than as a first priority. One of the very high expectations that God has for us is to gather together to worship. Look in the early church in Acts chapter 2. And this is such an incredible, we could spend a lot of time, we don't have that, but we could spend a lot of time right here. But this is what happened. All right, remember Acts chapter 2, the 120 believers are in the upper room, they're praying, the Spirit of God came and embodied them for the first time and never to leave believers, and so they go out with boldness, they begin preaching in the streets in the middle of the day. Peter's preaching, which by the way, a couple weeks earlier at night when no one could really see him, he denied Jesus. Now he's out boldly in the middle of the day in the street preaching Jesus. People are getting saved all over the place, and this is what happens. It says there, starting in verse 41, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. That's a lot of baptisms. That's a lot of dunking going on right there, but that would be awesome. Then it goes on, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So here are some things that gathering regularly for worship leads to. You ready? Number one, it leads to devotion to the Word of God. When we gather together, we study the Word of God. So as we do it regularly, it leads to devotion to the Word of God. Number two, gathering for regular worship leads to meeting the needs of others. One of the great things that we're able to do here at Spring Valley is when there's a need, we're able to minister in that situation. Whatever the need happens to be, we're able to do that as we gather together. But as we come together, we're encouraged to do that. Number three, gathering for regular worship leads to joyfulness. I love that it says they were all together and they were joyful about the things that they were doing as they saw what God was doing in their lives and through them. Number four, gathering for regular worship leads to a sincere faith, because as we spend time together and as we study the Word of God together and as we fellowship together and as we worship together, it strengthens and makes our faith more firm and more secure. And then the last thing here, gathering for regular worship leads to people being saved. You see that as they were going around and doing this, and as they had this incredible testimony, as they were going to the temple every day to pray, and as they were going from house to house every day, not once or twice a week, every day, and they were meeting together and doing this, people saw what was happening in their lives, and they were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So, what is expected of Spring Valley? We've talked about already. Number one, that we would love God. Number two, that we would love others. Number three, that we would share His story. Number four, that we'd seek God daily. That is a high expectation that God has for us. That's a commitment. It's important. Next, that we would gather for worship weekly. Not when we feel like it. Weekly. Now, I grew up, my dad was a pastor, and so I literally had to be next to dead to not be at church. Like, there had to be like 147 degree fever in my life, or, you know, blood pouring out of something or whatever it was. I mean, there had to be something big in order for me to not go to church. And it seems like in America today, now it's kind of like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just church. No, it is a big deal. It's an expectation that God has for us, that we would do life in our group regularly. We said it a couple weeks ago, that it is important for each of us to be involved in a connect group. I'm glad that you're here in the service. This is a great place to be. This is only step one. Step two is that we are together in a group, learning to love God's. Next, that we would give consistently for the sake of the gospel. And lastly, that we would go intentionally to share the gospel with others. This is our discipleship path. These are the categories. These categories and steps are the expectations. Can I tell you something? These are not the expectations that Pastor Josh and myself have. These are the expectations that, as best we can determine from the Word of God, that the Lord has for us as believers. Not to just show up every once in a while. Not to be a Christian consumer. But to be a radical believer. So, number one, God has high expectations for us. Number two, God plans great things for us. If we look there again in Hebrews chapter 10, the whole passage, if we look in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And in verse 23, it says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. And in verse 24, it says, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. And we see a theme, we see a pattern that we've seen here in other places in Scripture. And it's this: number one, we're supposed to draw near in faith towards God. Draw near in faith towards God. As we deepen our faith, guess what happens? We come closer in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, draw near in hope for ourselves. What is our hope? By the way, do you know what the word hope biblically means? Earnest expectation. Our hope is a sure thing. It's not a wish. It's not, I'm going to rub this magic lamp and hope something happens. No, it's an assured expectation. Our hope is in Jesus. That because our hope is in Jesus, we know our sins have been forgiven. Our home is heaven. And eternity with Jesus is our destiny. That is our hope. We have hope for ourselves. Number three, draw near in love for others. And so what is this pattern that we see here? Faith, hope, and love. We see that all through the New Testament. J. Vernon McGee said this, "We need to study the Word of God together. God has something for the group that He will not give to any one individual. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If you have a Bible study at church, be sure to go because there is a blessing for you there that you can't get when you study the Bible for yourself. God has great things for us as we gather together, as we study the Word of God together, that we can learn together, we can grow together, we can be on the same plane together, we can experience life through the lens of Jesus Christ together. He has great things for us." See, God's will for our lives is that as we meet His expectations, He provides growth opportunities and spiritual blessings that we could never experience if we simply continue in the same old way of life. God has great things for us. So, teenager, let me tell you something. God has great things for you. When you reach out to your classmates at school, when you invest in your youth group here at Spring Valley, when you invite people for Slopsicle this week, God has great things for you. He has high expectations. He wants to do incredible things through your lives. Mom and Dad, God has great things for you. He has high expectations. But do you know that you can have an influence on your family and on your work and on your neighbors by living out those high expectations? And when that happens, God has great things for you. Grandma and Grandpa, God has great things for you. He has high expectations, but He can use you to influence the younger generations as we watch how God works in your life because you meet those high expectations. You see, regardless of who we are, God expects great things for us, and He wants to give us great things. There is a spark that is ignited in our hearts as we seek God daily. When we gather for worship weekly, God fans that flame to an increasing fire that erupts as we love others, which causes us to share His story. Something special happens when we decide to intentionally seek after God every single day, not just on Sundays. When we're seeking after God every single day and we're spending time with Him every single day, you know what happens when we gather together? All these little flames that happen all over this county and whatever, wherever you live, Blount County or Jefferson County, wherever, and all these little flames that are kind of little bits, as we come together, you know what it becomes? It becomes this great raging inferno that cannot be stopped. And it is passion for the Lord. God has incredible expectations in our lives. And for some reason, in church in America today, we have decided we don't need to live up to those expectations. We can just do our own thing. But when we study the Word of God, you know what we find out? We find out that God hasn't changed His expectations. He set them, and He expects us to live up to them. So here's our takeaway, and we'll be finished. Am I living in a way that meets God's high expectations? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. How do we know if we're living up and meeting to God's expectations? Are we loving God? Are we loving others? Are we sharing His story? Are we seeking after God daily? Are we gathering weekly? Are we grouping regularly? Are we giving consistently? Are we going intentionally. You see, we didn't just put these words down because we thought they sounded really cool. We put these together because we said, what is it in my own life that I need to look at and say, this is a benchmark. Am I doing this in my life? Am I doing this in my life? Am I doing this in my life? And as we began, in fact, Josh and I began talking about this over a year ago. And for Josh and for myself and a few others, we've been talking about this and thinking through this and kind of mulling over this for a year to make sure this is where God wants us to be. It's not just something we can throw up on a sign, or it's not just some neat little metric logo that we can put up, but rather this is what we need to look at our own lives to be radically life-changed for God's glory. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to start walking in this direction. And we're going to challenge every single one of us to start walking with us. We're going to challenge every single one of us to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to seek after God every day. And you know what? For some of us, we might only get 3 days a week, but we've never done anything before. That's a win. We're going to say, I'm going to start going to church every week, not just when it's convenient, every week. I'm going to get involved in a small group, in a connect group. I'm going to begin giving. I'm going to begin tithing. I'm going to go. I'm going to be intentional in sharing the gospel. When that happens, you know what happens in our own lives and the life of our church? We look and act and talk and think just like Jesus. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for our time together, and we thank you for your word that challenges us, even when we don't like what it has to say. So, Father, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some things that sometimes are hard for us to hear because it means that I have to make a radical change in my life. And Lord, if I'm being really honest with you, I don't always like to change. In fact, most of the time, I don't like to change. I like to just live my kind of comfortable life and not have anything really get in the way of what's going on. I want to have the things that I like, the things that I prefer going on, and that's it. And God, that's not the life you've called us to. You haven't called us to a life of comfort. Called us to a life of obedience. So, Father, I pray that each of us would seek after you every single day. That each of us would endeavor to be in church, to gather together for worship every single week. That we would decide to be a part of our regular connect group. That we decide that we want to give because of how much you have given to us. We want to give back to see the gospel go forward. And that we decide that we're going to be going intentionally with the purpose of sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those we come in contact with. So God, help us to love you, help us to love each other, and help us to share your incredible and wonderful and amazing story of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here this morning, if there are any of us that need to make radical changes, that today would be that day. We'd stop playing church, we'd stop playing Christian, and we decide, I'm all in. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who has never before put their faith and trust in you. God, I pray that this morning that they would recognize that they are sinful, that you are sinless. The only way for them to go from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven is through belief in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that it would be true of someone today to say yes to you. Lord, I pray now in this moment of reflection, of surrender, that you would help us to be obedient to what you've called us to do, not just in this room, but in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.